Good morning. It is such a privilege to be able to be back with you here once again. I always enjoy the times that I've been able to come and worship with you and spend time in fellowship and also to speak. It was kind of a surprise when Rick called me a couple days ago and said, "Hey, I heard you were coming to see Brooke." I said, "Yes, I am." He says, "Well, you're preaching on Sunday." And I said, "Well, I was planning on hearing my good brother preach." And he said, "Well, I'm going to be in San Francisco." I said, "Well, if you're serious, then I'll be glad to. It would be a privilege." So I'm glad to be with you today. Since I did come to see Brooke, the whole lesson is for Brooke. And everybody else will be able to get something from it too, I'm sure. No, I wouldn't do that to her. That you know of. The truth is, it's always a pleasure to preach the truth, and it's great to see my kids. It's good to see you guys, and I'm just glad to be here. I was very saddened to hear about Josh and his departure, but I'm glad that you guys are actively searching for a good man to come and work with you, and I know you'll find someone that will buckle down and labor with you in the good works that you're doing. And I look forward to meeting whoever that may be when we come back and visit in future opportunities. I just am thankful for the work you do, the eldership here, the works that are going on, the men that are laboring in the vineyard. You are a bright light in this dark world, and you need to keep on letting that light shine. Now this morning, as we begin, we're going to be talking about some things that we need to do, things we need to think about as we do some spring cleaning. You know, this is the time of year people start to get things reorganized and get things recharged in their lives. They start planting gardens. You know, I'm sure some people already planted gardens and then they were worried about this cold spell. But the fact is, this is a time of year that people begin to think about, how can I redo some other things? How can I change some other things? We have a few months till summer. We've got to get ready. Well, in truth, as a Christian, every day should be a day that we think about how we can improve, how we can overcome our weaknesses, how we can receive forgiveness for the things we've done in the past, how we can get our lives right with God. So we're going to be talking a little bit about some renewal this morning. And as I begin to renew my life and move forward, one of the things that I must do is rethink my position with God. I want to rethink where I stand, where I am, and where I'm going. In Paul's letter to Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 5, he says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified." He says, test yourselves, examine yourselves. Where do you stand? A similar statement is made in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, where we are to examine our own work. He starts off by saying, bear with those, help those who have sinned. You watch out for yourselves. You examine your own work. You labor with those who are laboring for God. You support them financially. You sow the right kind of seed and you'll have the right kind of harvest. And in that context, he says, examine your own work. Examine yourself. Where do you stand this morning? Where do you stand with God? What is your position with God? How do you live according to His ways? You know, Michael Light's coming in a few weeks to do a meeting. Michael Light was telling me one time about a sermon that he preached from Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And if you're familiar with that passage, twice he says, consider your ways. Now, Michael said that he read this verse and then he sat down on the front pew and let people sit for about 10 minutes in silence and then got up and continued to preach. And it was very powerful and people seem to grasp what God is saying here very well. It says in Haggai 1, verses 5 through 7, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have strength. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." It's a powerful message. He's saying you're enriching yourselves, you're taking care of your worldly needs, you're building up this nest egg that means nothing. In the end, it means nothing. What matters is your position with God. Are you ready? Have you prepared yourself? Are you following Him faithfully? Consider your ways. Examine yourself. And in order to do that, I have to ask the right kind of questions. Have I been drawing closer to God every day? Am I drawing closer to God this week and this month and this year? Am I knowing Him better? Am I loving Him more? Am I serving Him more faithfully? Am I closer to God? Have I drawn closer to my brethren? Do I lift each other up? Do I support them? Do I attend the services? Do I help others? Do I knock on the doors? Do I visit the sick? Do I go to the hospital? Do I lift up the downtrodden? Am I making a difference with my brethren? And then thirdly, I would ask, am I letting my light shine in this dark world? Do I talk to my neighbors about Christ? Do I reach out to the lost with the gospel of Christ? You know, we have to set the right example. There's no doubt about it. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, to be an example of the believers. He's supposed to be an example. But that's not enough. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to go into all the world and just be examples. He said you've got to go and preach. You've got to proclaim the gospel. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word. We have a job to do. So am I letting my light shine by example, and am I letting the light of God's word shine by declaring that gospel to a lost and dying world? As I examine myself, have I drawn closer to God? Am I making a difference with my brethren? And am I making a difference in this world? I must examine myself and find out where do I really stand. And then I need to make changes accordingly. So now that I've rethought my position, I need to renew my focus. What is it that I think about? What is it that I'm focused on each and every day? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be renewing, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be like the world, you be transformed, you be different. How? By renewing your mind. It's what you think about. It's thinking on the things of Christ. It's setting our minds on things above, Colossians 3 and verse 5. It's thinking about those good things. You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we're told, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. He says, here's what your mindset should be. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes it's hard for me to do that. You turn on the television and it's filled with filth. You turn on the news and it's filled with doom and gloom. You look at the economy in our part of the world, and especially those tied to the petroleum industry, and it is a rough state of affairs. People are losing their jobs or losing portions of their income, things along those lines. And our country has suffered pretty dramatically for some time. And so we look at the things going on in the world, and it might make us feel negative and hateful and like everything's miserable. We might look at the state of the church and say, well, there's problems here and there's problems there and there's problems everywhere. And we start having the wrong kind of mindset. Folks, we have to think on the good things, the things of God. His word will accomplish what He intends it to accomplish. It will not return unto Him void. So we cannot think about the things in our ways. We need to think about things in His ways, which are higher. We need not worry about all the little things of life to the point that we let it bring us down. Instead, we focus on the good things of God and we keep moving forward. There will not be a day on this earth without problems. So let's quit acting like we're going to get there someday. Instead, let's live for God and keep moving forward. We are focused on His will and His word. Because if we go to the world for solutions, we will not reach that eternal home. We have to go to God and His word. That's why He tells us in 2 Peter 1 verses 2 through 4 that His word has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's given us the things we need to move forward in life. Now, He's not saying the word of God is giving you things so that you can drive a car or become a surgeon or to solve the world's problems in a political manner. He's saying, I'm giving you all the things you need in life to live a righteous life, like we talked about in Bible class this morning, to live a faithful life of service to God, so that someday we can hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. We want to go to heaven and be with the Lord. We want to raise our families well. We want to have a marriage that honors God. We want to be evangelistic in our work as the church. We want to do the things that really matter. So it requires me to focus on the good things of life. You know, there are many things that bring us down. You know, when people are struggling with depression or they're struggling with injury or loss, and they become a part of a group or an organization that's trying to help them overcome those things. Do you know what they do for those groups? Every single time they develop a project where they're doing some type of service for others. Because when people start thinking about others, when they start doing things for others, they quit focusing on themselves and how bad everything is. As a Christian, we need to quit worrying about how bad everything is and start realizing this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to keep on working for the Lord. I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm going to keep moving forward. My focus matters in life. So I need to renew where I stand. I need to renew my mind and my focus, and I need to move forward. And as I make this examination, it may be that I realize that I need to repent and that I need to be restored. A great example of that is found in Psalm 51. If you have your Bibles, please turn over to that section. It's a large section of Scripture, and I'm not going to read every verse, but I'm going to walk through this passage as we see what true repentance is all about, as David lays out what's in his heart. A little background to this, if you go back and read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you see that David was supposed to be out with the kings. It's time for battle. He's supposed to be out doing his job, but he wasn't. And he sees Bathsheba, and he enters into sin with her, as sin that would change the nation. It would change his life and ultimately the whole world. He sins with Bathsheba, and then he takes and makes orders that lead to the death of Uriah. He becomes a sin, a reproach in the eyes of God, and makes Israel a reproach among the nations of the world, and he sins against God. So Nathan comes to him and tells him a story about this rich man who has everything. He has wives, he has lambs, he has crops, he has fields, he has everything. And there's a poor man who has one lamb. He's taken very good care of this lamb. He's raised it like his own daughter, is the way the scriptures put it. He loves her, he's cared for her, he's raised her, he's fed her even from his own table. Well, the rich man has a visitor come to his house, but rather than taking from his own, he takes that lamb from that poor man. David is furious. He says, that man shall die, and he shall restore fourfold. Nathan says to him, thou art the man. You're the man. You're the one. God has given you all these things. He's given you this kingdom. He's given you the power. He's given you the financial prosperity. He's given you all of these things. And yet, look what you have done. And David said, I have sinned against God. He knew he was wrong. Nathan tells him, God's going to forgive you this sin. You're not going to die, but there are going to be consequences. Now, fast forward to Psalm 51. David is going to pour out his heart before God because he knows he's separated himself from God and he needs that restoration, and so he repents. In verse 1, basically he's saying, I need mercy. I need your mercy. Blot out my transgressions. In verse 2, he says, I need cleansing. Wash away my sins. Verse 3, he says, I need confession. He says, my sin is always on my mind. It's ever present before me. I don't know about you, but I've done things in my life where I couldn't let them go. They were always on my mind. You lose sleep over it. You say something you shouldn't have said, or you said it in a way you shouldn't have said it. You've done things that you regret, and it affects you. And he says, my sin is ever present before me. It's always on my mind. There's a way to get rid of that, and that is to repent of this sin and to make this confession. Verse 4, he says, I need you. He says, my sin has destroyed our relationship. I want to be back with you like we were before. I want that connection. I want you to be my God, and I want to be your child. I need that relationship. He goes on to say in verses 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, he says, I need you. You know me inside out. You know what I'm thinking. You know who I am. Examine me. You know who I am. I need this blackness of sin removed. So cleanse me and wash me whiter than snow. Take it away. He says in verse 8, I need your help. I'm distraught. I'm hurting. Even in my bones, heal my brokenness and let me rejoice. Have you ever done something, and it may not be something sinful, just a decision you made or an action that you've taken where it made you physically ill over the consequences? Have you ever done something or said something where it affected you, where you were hurting inside over what has happened? Well, that's what he's happening. Well, that's what he's doing here. You know, there are times in the Bible when we're told laughter is medicine. Joy is righteousness, and it makes you feel good. Following God is a good thing. But sin brings you down, and he's feeling the devastation of his sin against God. And as he goes on, he says, I need forgiveness. Don't look at me, verse 9. Don't look at me. Forgive me. You know, I can't help but think of your little children when they were very young and they would go to hide to do something. They then, once they have done something, it was very difficult for them to look at you in the eyes, look at you face to face. They're hiding and they feel that separation. Don't look at me. I'm ugly. I'm sinful. I need something taken away. I need you. And so he says, I need a clean heart and a renewed, steadfast spirit or attitude. He says, don't leave me, verse 11. Don't leave me. Don't cast me away. I need you. I need this connection. So restore me. Show me your generosity. Bring me back. And then he says something that's very powerful. Once he is forgiven, he's not just going to go on like nothing happened. He says, then I will teach others and sinners will be converted, verse 13. He'll go forward praising God, verses 14 and 15. And then in verse 16, he makes it very clear. There's nothing he could do to earn his salvation or the forgiveness of sins. And he makes it very clear that God is not after some physical sacrifice in the sense of just sacrificing that lamb. It's not about something physically that he can do. It's about his heart. A broken, contrite heart. He needs to pour out his heart before God and show him who he is. God can see who he really is. And when we read this passage, we see that great plea for forgiveness. That's what we ought to see in confession. That's what we ought to see when we repent of sin. You know, sometimes people come forward and they say things like, well, if I have sinned or if I have offended, that's not what David did. David said, God, I sinned against you. It's black. It's dirty. It's dark. It separated me from you. And only thing I can do is plead to you and ask for forgiveness. Take this burden away. Let me have that relationship again. Let me work with you again. He's begging. Folks, as we determine where we stand And as we renew our focus, if we come to the conclusion that we need to repent and be restored, this is the kind of example that we must follow. We must pour out our sins before God and ask for His forgiveness. You know, Nathan is still speaking through the Word. Scriptures lay out for us how we ought to live. It tells us what we must do and how we can live according to His Word. We just sang the song, "Give me the Bible." We need to mean it that we're going to follow God's Word, that it's going to guide and direct us in life, and we know that when we follow His direction, we will reach those heavenly shores. Now, it also may be that after you've examined where you stand, you've looked at your focus, you've realized that maybe it's not just some repentance that you need, but that you've never become a part of God's family. In that case, you need regeneration. You need to become a child of God. The question is, what can I do about the condition of my soul? Without God, nothing. But the good news is, God has given us a wonderful gift. He sent His Son to die for our sins. Christ lived that perfect life. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose the third day. And now we who die to our sins are buried into His death, are going to be raised to walk in newness of life. And if we continue to be faithful, we will go to heaven and be with the Lord. We need to follow that pattern. So how do we have that regeneration? Well, if you have your Bibles, look at Titus chapter 2, if you will. We'll look at two different passages here in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And then we'll look at chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Titus 2, 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Notice the contrast. He says there's a way that you once were, where you were ungodly and worldly. Get away from that. Now you live soberly, righteously, and godly. And He tells us why. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us, purchase us, buy us back, pay our debt from every lawless deed, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. So how is it that we go from that ungodly worldliness to that righteous living? How is it that we get from one condition to another? Well, in chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, we're told this. "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done," again, it's not that we are earning our way there, "but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We have a regeneration that comes when we obey the gospel, and it's going to give us the opportunity here for eternal life. Well, how does that happen? The scriptures lay that out for us very clearly. In Acts 2 and verse 38, when those men asked, "What must we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." In chapter 3 and verse 19, Peter again preaching at a different time says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Repent, have your sins be blotted out. When? When you're washing away your sins, when you're calling on the name of the Lord. Excuse me. Acts 22 and verse 16 says the same thing. Ananias comes to Paul, Saul of Tarsus at the time, and he says to him, "What are you waiting for?" He says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is the moment. When you go from that worldliness, that darkness of sin, and you come into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. When you're added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. When those sins are removed. When you're washed away with the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Folks, we need to keep on living our lives in anticipation for Jesus' return. We're looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming back. So in the meantime, I need to examine myself. Where do I stand? I need to make sure my focus is right. Are there bad things in the world? Yes, there are. But that cannot be your focus. Your focus needs to be on living for Christ Jesus and helping others to do the same. And if I have become a Christian, but I'm living in sin, I need to repent of that sin and be restored. 1 John 1, 5-9 makes it very clear that if we will confess our sins, that God is faithful and just and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can come home and be restored and have that sin removed. But if we're not a child of God, we need that regeneration. We need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, where He will add us to the church. You'll be a part of the body, and where we can work together to go to heaven someday. As you look at your life and as you look at the things that you want to accomplish this spring and as we get into summer, the many works that are going on, you know, it's good for you to look for a preacher who's going to help you. It's good that you have a summer series to help keep you positive and motivated. It's good to keep on having a gospel meeting and works that are going on as the congregation. But each day, we're not trying to examine others. We have to examine ourselves. So this morning, where do you stand? If you're not right with God, why don't you make that change today? Have the courage of David to say, I have sinned against you, my God. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?